Don't just come on Wednesdays and Fridays. Come on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. If you can't at this time, maybe you're a student, you're writing exams. After the exams, we will continue. We're always having classes. When the cycle finishes, a new cycle commences. So go through it and the details will be answered. Just understand this. You don't have to always tell someone about, yes, knowing the terror of God, Galatians 1:10, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. Yes, yes, every man will give account for himself. It's true. But the good news is that you can escape a terrible accountability day. That's the good news, okay? The good news is that, hey, do you want to be positioned well on the day of accountability? Come, let me show you. Other than that, all of us have seen I'm falling short of God's glory. And there will be judgment. And I don't have time. So maybe on your own, you can go and read the book of Isaiah chapter 4. Judgment, the earth. No, it's not Isaiah 4. Did I say Isaiah 4? Jeremiah 4. But it's Isaiah 24. Just give me Isaiah 24 from verse 1 to 6. Behold, the Lord lays waste the earth and leaves it in ruins. He will twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants. Say earthquake. People and priests alike. Are you watching? This is in a hurry. Servant and master, maid and mistress, buyer and seller, lender and borrower, creditor and debtor. The earth will be utterly laid waste and thoroughly plundered, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and withers. The world languishes and fades. The exalted of the earth waste away. The elites, okay? The earth is defiled by its people. They have transgressed the laws. They have overstepped the decrees and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse has consumed the earth, and its inhabitants must bear the guilt. The earth dwellers have been burned, and only a few survive. That's the future of your world. Don't ever forget it. All of you that tend to forget important things. That's the future of this earth. And you guys are the ones that I think will see it. At least you're closer to it than any generation has ever been. This is not a country. This is the earth. Did you see him list the categories? Master, servant, everyone. Did you see priest and people? Everybody will go through that. Only a few will remain. Judgment will not come by water. It will come by fire. And you have to be a Noah type to escape that judgment. So what's the good news? The good news is we are saying, hey, many are called, few are chosen. Noah's time, how many? 8 people. So what we are doing is calling you to join to build the ark. Carry your cross, your planks, so we can build an ark for that day. Are you understanding? When that day comes, that season of judgment that will hit the whole earth, some people will escape it. Some will not. So why is it good news? Good news is that you can escape. Is that clear? It's bad news to you if you're disobedient and you keep breaking God's laws. Then you get what you deserve. What you sowed. Don't you want to reap? People have planted corn. They are not planning to eat papa. So papaya. What you planted. So watch what you plant. The good news is that God can forgive you for all you have planted so far. And start again. Do you want? That's the good news. Me? Do you know what I've done? The good news is that He's wiping away all your sin. All. That's good news. Don't you think so? What did Paul mean by praying? Oh, there's more to that good news. That's 10% of the good news. The remaining. Attend the classes. I don't have energy. You can't start it and end it in a normal meeting. And most of the church is not ready to even hear. But we teach it. What did Paul mean by praying always in the Holy Spirit? I don't know. Me, I just implied that it means praying in the Spirit. Karabarabashata. Was that not clear? Please, sir, in a situation where I feel the prayer altar on my life, on your life, on top of your life, come out from come out from under that prayer altar. The prayer altar in my life. Okay, maybe it's in. Okay, all these people that eyes. Oh, okay. Seen it. In my life has quenched. Like I no longer have the zeal to read my Bible and prayers before. Even eyes to see. Please, what can I do? Go and stay with brethren who have their prayer altars on fire. Go and visit and stay. Thankfully, we have some family houses. Go and stay there. Say, I want to stay for a week or so. Carry your feeding money. Go there. Lord, you might stay. Don't you know fire, that they take fire from an altar to another altar? Apart from that, come for church meeting. Pray. Ask God, Father, let the fire fall. Okay? Tell your disciples, let them pray for you. Or come to me. Maybe I can kickstart it. Or maybe, I mean, who knows? What did you do? I don't know. It could be anything. So you may need to talk. That you are talking here means maybe you're not a church member. Okay? But we will still help you. You are a cousin in the Lord. So, as I'd like to talk with a leader, you give you a phone number, talk with someone. They'll ask you questions and they can help rekindle your fire. What you're experiencing has happened to me. It happens to everybody. All right. So it's not as abnormal as you think, but you shouldn't be used to it staying like that. And then there are these seasons. When I was speaking earlier about what the church is for, the church is the place where you go when you are weak, because two are better than one. And the threefold cord is not easily broken, according to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 4. So you're supposed to keep company with those that will keep you warm. The Bible says, if one stays alone, if two are together, give it to us, you'll be warm. No, step back. Verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? So in the spirit, if you are alone, you may grow cold. But if there are others in your life, that's a major reason for the church of God. It keeps you warm. Your fire stays on. All right? Very important. Don't despise the brethren. You tend to be cold a lot. Please, when I pause to listen to God in prayers, I don't hear God speak. What should I do? Pray in the spirit, quietly. Okay? Pray, pause, pray, pause. You didn't seem to hear anything. It's okay. Go and pick your Bible. God speaks through the Bible many times. Many times how he speaks to me, you know. Stop expecting to just speak with a voice only or an impression. But with time, you also learn to recognize the impression or extend the time. And it depends on what you prayed about. But the most common way to wait on the Lord to speak to you is open the Bible. Have you heard me?
Yes, sir.
We tend to be very charismatic, so in Pentecostals, tend to be very indisciplined about Bible study, about paying attention to the written word. You're always looking for something right now. And you lose. Okay, all the supernatural things we've enjoyed in this house. This pastor who leads this house grew up doing the things I'm describing to you. Looking at his word. So the powerful things he's led us to do, a lot of it came from simply without hearing or seeing a voice, all of that. So you can't say that, when you're like that, you're not really led. I'm very led. I'm very led without fireworks. So don't be afraid. Okay, how do I know he was? He will guide you. He will lead you. He will little by little. Little by little. A little here, a little there, a little there. What does Jesus mean by saying in the parable of the unjust steward that some of the world, the people of the world, are more shrewd in their generation than the children of light? Okay, so the timing, the season now, this season now, the people of this world, this is their generation. They are wiser. They know how to follow the laws of sowing and reaping. He gave an example of a shrewd or crooked person. This guy wasn't straightforward. His master was about to sack him, and he used his master's goods to buy favor for the time when you'll be sacked. It's what I'm always preaching about. The people of the kingdom, the sons of the kingdom or sons of light, are very unwise. You guys, often, the most of my brethren, Christians, you don't use what you have now, your access your position with God to secure a place in the coming age. This is my primary message. I preach this constantly. This is what I'm perpetually asking you. Are you thinking well? Are you actually stashing up money rather than securing yourself? So the Lord will look and say, oh, wow. Do you know out of the 100 million this guy made in his life, he gave out 999.9 of it? A memorial is built for what you give. Yes, have you not read in the Bible, Cornelius? Say, your almsgiving and prayers have come up to me as a memorial in heaven. A Gentile man. So he said, we are going to release the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles too. Start with this man. This is the outstanding man. A Roman soldier. A Roman soldier who spent time praying and using what he had to support the poor. And so the Lord was saying that the people of this world, they know how to position themselves for the future. In this age, they position themselves. They know how to carry a carton of wine and a goat or a cow and go and give this. And then the man becomes something and he appoints them something. He was saying the sons of light seem to lack sense in such thing. Why? Because you see Christians, they claim that they believe in heaven and all those things. I know many don't really understand how it to be so. But if you are wise, you use what you have now and secure the coming age. Luke 12, okay? Let me just read this. Luke 16:8. Then we go to Luke 12, verse 32. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the sons of light. Now, you see me? Me, I'm shrewd, though. I'm a son of light. I invest all, everything I have is in sons. Am I exposing secret? Which secret? I've been telling you every day for how many years? Which secret? What secret about it? I invest in God's children. He said in dealing with their kind, the way I deal with my kind is by investing in them as opposed to investing in myself, which is what most Christians do. You invest in yourself. You're very unshrewd. You don't know. You're like someone who doesn't know where people are making money, but spiritual money. Luke 12. Sell your possessions. I said verse 32. Start from 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, because that's what stops us from acting. Fear. For your father is pleased to give you the kingdom. This is what you should be pursuing. That shrewd manager was securing his belly for when he loses his position as a manager. He adjusted the people's receipts. For those who don't know the story, go and read it. He adjusted their receipts. Someone was owing his oga 2 million. He said, change it and write 1 million. He didn't ask them for the cash, though. He knew there won't be time to pay. He just said, write like this. So those people feel indebted to that man. Do you understand? And so picture this man where he has lost his job and he comes to that man that he canceled 1 million for and say, oh God, well done. See me, oh. My God, don't sack me. Boss has sacked me. So if there's anything to do, please. No, my first son, I don't know if you can just support me a little. Do you think this man will drop this guy? He saved him 1 million naira. Even if he wants 500,000, you give him. He will help him in some way. He did this for the different people that were in. But then Jesus said that the people of this world, crooked people, are sharper. All right? Now, look here. Don't be afraid, little flock. These are his sons of light. For your father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. That's exactly the same thing. Secure yourself. Provide yourselves with purses that will not wear out. An inexhaustible treasure. Where? In heaven. Where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So he's telling you how to secure yourself. Provide for yourself in advance. Use what you have now And he said, give it to the poor. And I've explained this thing about poverty, the spiritual and the physical. Spiritual is more common than physical. Spiritual poverty. So if you're expending what you have materially and spiritually in your life, your abilities, the things God has given you, on sons of light, your own kind, God is saying that you are wise. Is that clear? I hope it's clear. Remember, if I finish saying something and you're not sure, quickly say, excuse me, you know, and I clarify, because I'm moving to the next point. How does one recognize New Age teaching? By knowing the true teaching. Then you know all that. But you don't need to go around saying, is that New Age? Why does the title matter? The title doesn't matter. So I don't know. What have you been reading? New Age thinking. New Age teaching generally refers to a mixture of Eastern religions that came from the 40s, 50s, 60s into the United States of America. There was a boom in the 60s, 70s, I would think. And around that time, they began to bring Hindu mysticism and transcendental meditations, all sorts of things. A mixing, they began to talk about experiences. Some would take drugs, which is a word in the Bible, often translated sorcery, pharmakeia. They would involve themselves, they would have experiences, all that. Your closest examples here is Ekanka, Grail Message type things, so it's a mixture of, they will mix in the Bible, they will mix in the name of Jesus, mixing, and they will say there are many paths to God, and you know, but it's mostly a form of Eastern religions, that's Hindu, Buddhist type religions, and that have crept in. So when you say New Age teaching, that would be it. Now, if you mean New Age teaching in the body of Christ, that would be certain Christians saying that other Christians have allowed those influences to creep in. Now, sometimes they are right, sometimes they are wrong. So don't presume whenever you read someone say, this is New Age teaching, you just say they must be right. Many of them are just cessationists, people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they believe that, like we, some of the things we believe, they will say it is New Age teaching. Is that okay? Don't take it on its face value. Just know the original. And when you see something that is off, it doesn't have to be New Age. It could just be error. The Bible word for it would be error. It's not New Age or this or that. Error is error. Okay, we don't care where it came from. I hope that's clear. If Satan doesn't know our mind, who said? Wrong church. Because this pastor has told you over and over again that Satan has a very large clue of what's going on in your mind. Someone else told you that, not me. I go out of my way to tell you, you'll be shocked. We're casting a demon out of a girl. And she was sitting on the ground, her legs spread like this. And it was multiple. We had been praying all morning and it was getting late. So I brought in teams of 1-1. He said, oh yeah, one person here, a team of 3-4 people, one person. So I was praying from group to group and she was here, as she was manifesting a demon there, sitting there. Our sister, Margaret, will hold her leg and close it. And she will spread the leg again. And in her mind, she didn't say it out. She's like, I wish this girl would close her leg. In her mind though, the demon answered immediately, I will not close. Satan uses thoughts. I said this on Sunday. He projects thoughts. That's the major way he talks to you. It's thoughts. You say, I was thinking. And as you don't know, many people don't know, you accept many things. That's Satan talking. You say, I thought. Satan just spoke to you. You say, I thought. Demons talk. Angels too. And when you haven't learned to distinguish, that's what the word of God does. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living. That's why scripture is so powerful. That's why Bible study, true Bible study, is so powerful. For the word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces even to dividing soul and spirit. Joints and marrow, that's your body. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So what the word of God helps you do, it helps you know, is this the Spirit of God? Is this What's talking? The word of God is what distinguishes. It divides. It says this one is this, this one is this. So that's how, you know, many years ago, I'm walking across the, I was in the university and I'm walking and the devil is saying something. I'm like, and it's like, you know how you see someone squatting behind a rock and you're like, and I realized this is Satan, and I smiled. I didn't rebuke. I just like, ah, hey, Satan. I remember I smiled, crossing my face like, oh, I started laughing. That was it, though. Satan doesn't like being seen. His power is darkness. You don't know who just stepped on you because it's dark. So as what the word of God is, why the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, is that it shows you. Why again, if you're wondering, how come you keep saying that the word is more powerful to save? Because Jesus said so. But how? Because the word is a light. It exposes Satan. So when you soak in the word a lot, Satan loses his hiding places. All those many, I don't know why I'm like this. There's nothing like that. I am not like this. You wicked spirit of lies, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I don't hate my mother. I love my mother. God bless my mother. Father, I thank you for my mother, for all the care she's given me. I give you praise. I give you glory. Thank you for my mother. Thank you for all the years she must have suffered with me as a baby. For the stories I've heard of when I was sick and she was sleeping in the hospital. Father, I give you praise. I give you praise. You don't have to bind and cast too long. Just know what is talking to you instead of sitting down. My mother, no try at all. No try at all. I wish I had another mother. In fact, Satan is so happy. The demon that started it, I stood there and said, my mama, no try at all. He was checking. Does she have a sword of truth and shield of faith? And he announces, you have dropped them. You know, I agree, it's true. Instead of bringing out the word of God and slashing at that thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Thank you. See, you don't know warfare. You don't understand. You don't even know what is happening. You're dead there. Meanwhile, you can just won that battle. No. That battle could have lasted less than 60 seconds and ended. That's how he puts firewood, he puts petrol, he puts 1 week later, 1 month later, 2 years later, you have burned down the house. No, mama, don't come to my house, please. I've suffered enough while I was under you. Don't come to my house. Mama, don't come, or you stay outside, or don't come. That's all. Bye-bye. See, but that fire has grown. You fed it with fuel because you don't even know what we are fighting. You don't know what the war is about, and you don't know what a demon is. Everything that comes to your mind, you agree. Wicked thoughts. Why have I not changed? Why have I not changed? In spite of this good church I started going to, in spite of everything I've heard, everybody else has changed. Everybody has changed. Only me. If pastor knows how wicked my thoughts are, I'm sure nobody will even talk to me. Maybe they even suspend me. I have to make sure I don't tell anybody. God. Oh, God. Maybe I should just stay back, sir, from this church before I defile them. I've heard that there are words of judgment on people. And this can be, I know I've not done anything, but my thoughts are just too wicked. And the pastor said everything is open and in the light. And that Satan sees my thoughts. So if he sees this, like Satan is the one actually behind, and you're in perfect agreement. If two of you agree as touching anything, so you and the big D, now don't they agree? Hey, you suffer long. See, let me help you. I'm the expo guy. See. Don't wait till you see God and then he tells you all these things. Then they show you the theme of what was happening. And I've told you in the age to come, see this, I am sure in the future, people's mouths will be open like this. People just be walking around. They'll say, what is wrong? Are they zombies in the age to come in heaven? No, it's people that are getting to understand what happened. And God will tell you, but you should have read in my word. I told you that. You didn't pay attention to me. Or you should have listened to that myself, and when he explained it, you should have listened. You can save yourself a lot of trouble. When God, he says, if any man is in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away, all things are new. Do you believe it or you don't? Say, no, it's not. Well, I think they just wrote it. It's not for me. Why do you do that? So you believe the liar. You always go with the liar than the one who tells the truth. The devil is a liar when he speaks a lie. John 8:44. They speak his native language. So when Satan is just gisting with you, it's a lie. That's his native language. So don't have conversations. I used to say it so much years ago. I hope they are still telling you. I don't say it as much now. Stop talking with Satan. Nobody talks with Satan and wins. He's an old. Do you know how old he is? When he was created, he has been around for very long. And he has fought battles and won with billions of people. You can't be contending debate with Andidio. Do not contend with the wicked one. Don't. Leave it alone. Pull out the word of God. It is written. Not by you. By the God who made him. It is written. He came to Jesus. Do you see Jesus say, why? Why should I turn into bread? I'm sure you have something up your sleeve. Tell me. Jesus, the Son of God, did not do it. Who are you? You brat in the spirit. You stand. Your pride goes like, don't worry, I can handle this. Nobody has handled Satan effectively. You can't. It's the word of God, the sword of the spirit that handles him. So you have to bring the Lord to rebuke him. Turn this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. That's round one. Jump down, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Bow down, shall only bow down to God, and only him should you worship. Three times, not once did Jesus go into a discussion. Major reason you've ever been defeated in your life, you discussed with Satan. Don't do debates with Satan. He's too good. No debate at all. Just pull out your sword. Stab. Just that's all. And that's why Satan fights above everything you're reading the Bible. I told you long ago, you can't sleep at night. Try reading your Bible at night. Watch. The demon of insomnia will leave you without being rebuked. You can even pray, but to read Bible, except it's fake prayer. A fake prayer, you can pray fake, useless prayers. There's real prayer, there's a useless one. Satan doesn't mind. 12 o'clock sharp, you can wake up and waste your time till 3. But say you want to read the word. Who met opposition? Who has decided, now Bible, now I want to read? Then you know that there's a devil. Said, you want to sharpen your sword. So you'll be stabbing who? Me. So he launches everything against you. I am so serious. Why does the devil know it and you don't? Well, because it's in the Bible. And this is why I preach it day and night. So, child of God, Satan knows what's going on in your mind far more. You're emitting colors and sounds all the time. You're a fearful person. You attract demons of fear. Like, they smell you like a dog smells things. It's why usually things you're afraid of tend to almost happen to you a lot. Because in the spirit realm, you're like, mwah, 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 mwah. You are announcing, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. Demons are like flies. Beelzebub means Lord of the flies. Have you brought out a mango before and flies appear? You're like, from where did you come? That big blue bottle or green butterfly. Have you seen her? Yes. Where did they come from? They see the smell. From far, their senses. That's how demons are. Fearful one here. They come and torment you, give you nightmare. Lack of fear alone pushes away so many things. I've always known that I'll have this thing. How do you always know? Your fear attracted. So the demon said, it looks like a possible candidate and comes and commences the thing that did not exist. But you sent out alarms saying, I am almost available. As I am, so I may fall. How will I stay? Lost. lost, lost. You beam it out. Why are there some people that wahala just comes after nonstop? Certain kinds of wahala. Because you are... So sanctification is the process God provides to remove those things from you. Like learning to swim. Sometimes you have to get into the water. Not sometimes, all the time. You will never swim in a desert. So God pushes you into the very thing you are afraid of. And when you yield to it, in the process, he purges you of that thing. He's able to do this. He has done it for many. You can be someone who attracts the angelic, the realm of light. Reading your Bible attracts light and life. Not reading your Bible, fear. Ah, I heard there are witches, my family. I heard this, I heard that, I heard this. It attracts demons. So when an angel appears to anyone in the Bible, first thing, fear not. Because the atmosphere of fear is inconducive to our presence. Do you understand? Don't do fear. Don't spray that thing. Don't spray it. Fear not. Don't do fear. Fear messes up things. You want to see God work. I heard a clip where Apostle Arome Osai was talking about how he was in university walking and a bird at night that when you read in his family, when you're 21, either you go mad or die, weird things happen, normal. And he was 21 or so. He's walking across the campus, going to go and pray. And a bird appears. They say it didn't fly, appeared in front of him and wants to land on top of his head. He tries to push it, it's useless. So he hears that thing I've told you. I've told you about fear, faith of fear, feet of fear, you know, and he hears within him. Say, if you give in to fear this night, you die. So he closes his eyes and prays in the spirit. He said for 15 minutes, Rakashada Barabakot. He said he prayed in capital tongues. The tongue was in capital letters or something. As he did that, he opened his eyes. He saw the bed on the ground with one of his wings broken. 1 or 2 days later, an uncle of his, who was known as the most gentle man in the village. If people are quarreling here, you say, my heart cannot take it. And you leave. Physically, he was the most gentle human being anybody knew. He said the man came out, stood at the entrance of the door of his house for 20 minutes. People that greeted him, he didn't answer. Then he fell on his face and died. Oh, he was the one that was killing all those people. He was the most wicked man in the family. He was the bed. I don't know. Or he sent the bed. All right, but why did I start telling the story? I tell the story because he said he heard that thing I've told you so often about. Faith or fear. Faith or fear. That's why you might hear God's Lighthouse people say we don't do fear. It's not, we are not, go and find out the stories behind it. If you know how many battles you lost because you choose fear, if you know how many battles you've lost already, ask yourself this. Even if this thing will happen, whether I do fear or faith, and it will still happen. So at least let me smile while it's happening. Now, must I add the double psychological pain? Just choose to think like that. But the truth is, as the entrance of what comes, faith comes by hearing the words of God. The more you hear and know what God can do and has done, the less fear you have. The more you are not paying attention to what is being said, keeping company with those you should, not hanging around, talking to those wise counsel and all that, you suffer a lot of fear. Some of you go around life like this. You're a sufferhead. Why you're a sufferhead, I do not know. Maybe it's a family thing. Because there are people in physical circumstances that are far worse than you, and they don't walk in fear like that. So why do you walk in such fear? You made a choice to disregard God's words. How many? I had one auntie, you know, prayer, you go, prayer. All these churches I don't like, the divining type, ones that show up constantly telling, madam, the thing we saw. They are constantly breathing, giving a sigh. The enemy is fighting. Constantly. So you live in that place. Don't I know they are enemies? I do. You hear me talk. I don't joke with. I know our enemy is a serious enemy. But I said, remember that my illustration. We can be smiling while shooting. Do you agree? Who said it has to be? Why was we crying while we are fighting? Huh? Who says I can't die even with a smile? Here lies. Died smiling. What's wrong with that? I'm asking you. What's wrong with your last few hours or minutes being delightful? Peace out. Nothing. Mustn't be absolutely miserable. Shaking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you agree what I'm saying? Faith or fear? I told you the story long ago. Jennifer Toledo at the time, before she married. Toledo was her original name. And she's in Kenya. God has used that, brought revival in one tribe there. Amazing things have happened. Satan attacks her. She gets sick. The Lord shows up, heals her. Miraculous thing, she's recuperating. And a couple thieves, people jump over the fence into her house. Around the small building she's staying, separate from the main house. They are talking about, now they confess later. So they said that we're coming to rape you and kill you. The white woman that was there. And she hears them outside the window. And she said, oh God, oh God. And she hears, she said, faith or fear? Faith or fear? Choose. Faith or fear? Faith or fear? And she chooses faith. And she gets down from the bed to, she wants to say, I command you to live in Jesus now, something like that. She comes down from the bed. She slips on a waterproof that was by her bed and falls. Boom. And then she hears the men running. Boom. They jump the fence. They run. When they confess later, they said, we heard someone cocking a gun. Ka-ka-ka. So we took off running. But that decision, so her decision to go, I'm going to speak out. I'm going to choose. You'll be faced with this so many times in your life. Am I going to be super timid right now? Am I going to, Lord, I trust in you. Under your breath, I step out in faith and act in trust. You won't see many times where God would move if you don't choose to trust. Faith, remember, it's not a feeling. As I said that, some of you are saying, okay, next time I'll be bold. Faith comes from hearing what God has said. You want to be filled with faith? Be full of his words. Again, this person is really new. Because you say, why do we even... How come there's opposition to what we want to do, even when only we know what we want to do? No. You're really, really new. Because you would have heard me say many times that when I'm going to preach something that affects someone, usually they walk out, they enter the toilet. Because Satan sees the message the angel is bringing. The book of Daniel chapter 10, it says an angel was bringing an answer to Daniel. And they kidnapped the angel with the answer to Daniel's prayer for 21 days. Demons see. The spirit realm is way more open than you can imagine. So many times I'm about to say something, I'm preaching. Before I say it, it's here. It's on a scroll. People, prophetic people have seen me many times. They say an angel comes, opens something, and what I'm preaching, I'm reading from that thing. I'm reading. So the demon sees. I've seen it happen with some people maybe 100 times. As I'm about to say the thing that affects them, 30 seconds before one, they go out. They head off somewhere. When I said 100 times, I mean one person. I'm not talking about everybody it happens. I mean, I've seen people who is guaranteed. I look at them and I wonder, wow, Satan really has his way with you. Like when he calls, you move. You think they know. They don't know. In their mind, they just say, I really have to go and pee now. Let me stretch my legs. Some sleep immediately. They're going to. He hits them. Satan knows thoughts. He sees. He sees things coming. Things. You see how we are physically. In the spirit realm, things are moving. The spirit realm is more real than this realm. You're like, oh, but I can see. The spirit realm is more solid than this. You are the shadow. The Bible calls all the things in the law that the Israelites went through is called a shadow of things to come. God is a spirit and he's coming. That now we are the shadow. You are the one that is soft. That's why a spirit can pass right through you. Because you are ephemeral. So they see. They know. They see stuff. They see that one lost his issue. Okay, all right. Send two people. This one is vanity. Push that one to be her friend. That one that really likes appearance. Push that one. That one will distract. Satan is doing this all the time. Demons are doing this all the time. Coordinating affairs in your life. Coordinating things. Pushing. Arranging. Organizing. Destabilizing. Titillating, you know, tempting you. All right, what you're going to tempt that one with? Bring his file. One, two. Some forget file. They are seeing it. They see. You are emitting signals without talking. You are a walking signboard. You don't know it, but you should know. It is why God says you should be renewed. Romans 12. In the spirit of your mind, you're to be renewed, washed. Washed by the washing of the water by the word. Spots and wrinkles. Ephesians 5. I suppose don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Okay? Then you will be able to test and approve what is good, pleasing, and what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. You can know, is this one God? Is this Satan? Is this my flesh? Is this my soul? Is it from my past experience? You too will be able to see things clearly if you've been renewed by the word in your mind. Again, this is the first things. When I started growing spiritually, I'd been born again for a while, but when I started growing, these were the things God taught me. And it's so powerful. It will deliver you from so much. Your life will be easier in so many ways. So many ways. You'll change things. Your life will be easier. You'll be recognized. That's not me. That's Satan. That feeling I just had now. Now, you may not remember all these things I'm saying. Just obey. What does God say? That you shouldn't carry bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Go to 30. Get rid of all bitterness, 31. And rage and anger, outcry and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and tender-hearted to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. These are the things. You don't need to know this. I mean, I'm discussing behind the veil. You don't need to see behind the veil. You just need to know what does the word say. Get rid of all bitterness. I'm feeling bitter towards him after what happened the other day. He said I should get rid of it. You don't need to see, as you align that bitterness, a small demon, I've seen it squatting on your shoulder. His tongue is like a snake. It's putting it inside your ear. And as you're listening, it's going deeper and deeper. And you go like, So what should I do? What should I do? I should bind. See, you're disgusted by the demon. The description of the demon. You're thinking like a human being. You don't need to know there's a demon. You just need to know that God said you should get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Are you understanding? Yes. This is what it means to walk by faith. This is how faith comes from hearing what God has said. And you just obey. Bitterness, I rebuke you. Father God, what do I do? Oh, I remember what pastor said. Okay, I'm going to buy buns. These hot buns now. I'll buy two. Each one. Then I'll give him one. I got something for you. See that thing you did? You don't have to say that. I can just give it. If it's something he doesn't know about, it's not a big deal. You can say, Father, forgive him. Or if it's something he should know, say for you. By the way, there's something I need to tell you. That time you stood in front of this person and said that I took your thing. You know, he thought you were serious. You gave the impression that I'm dishonest. But I was joking now. But he doesn't know. Because after that, I met him to ask for something and he said, no, remember I heard. So you need to go and clarify. I was just joking. You need to clarify. Or say it on record, WhatsApp. Forward. Are you understanding? You should tell actually, but oftentimes, I'll not say anything. Let him do any nonsense he wants to do. Shade is God. But this is how we are. This, yes, no? Am I describing Asians? This is how, and this is how the devil is winning up and down everywhere. And we are looking, oh, the witches in our family, which witches? The witch that is you. Witches. You're going too far. Find a mirror. You just obey God. Get rid of this. Outcry, slander. Going to talk against. Now you're angry with him. When you see him, you say, and he says something. Ah, that guy. I didn't like her in the dress. You say, leave him. Leave him. That nonsense guy. Leave him. I hear say, no, this street. You're slandering him. Now you're trying to hurt him. See, you've yielded to bad spirits. Because you can't, if you saw the spirit, let me tell you, if the spirit realm was open to us, you would never sin. Oh, if your eyes see, you would never do a bad thing. Because you would see the spirit of lust, ugly thing like this, creeping around the neck of the person that looks fine to you, that you're doing like this for. You just see a disgusting, slimy. You go like, hey, what's that? And you need to get rid of that thing. Ooh, you're so horrible. But we don't see. You see the human being. And your angel sees it. And he's trying to say, leave this place. Remember what you were told. The Holy Spirit is saying, stop. You shouldn't be standing here. Why are you standing with this person at this corner? Why? 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 And you're like, leave me alone. You too, you're saying, open your hands in your ear. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear. Does it mean if someone is born again, does it mean they cannot have a social life? You're talking to demons. It's not going to end well. It never ends well. Never ends well. You're headed to mud. There'll be mud on your face. Let's pray it'll be short-lived. Because some people, that mud, it just stays there for weeks, months, years. People always wonder, how come people can fall so fast, so fast? For enemy that has been waiting for you. Guys, he should drag you slowly. No. You entered his trap. Ha! Bam! Bam! Padlocks. 4. Bah, 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 bah. There's so many levels of this thing which we've seen. All right? So, is there any problem in praying loudly? No. Just try not to disturb people. Why? The Bible says the Lord Jesus, when he'll pray, he'll go aside. I learned that it's not good to disturb people. I've had roommates when I was in university, they disturb people. And I know my own was even good. Wake up by 4 a.m. Oh God, Lord, I give today. I ask you. People are sleeping. The Lord Jesus went to a mountain. The Lord Jesus left the apostles and went to a mountain. That's an unbeliever. 5 of them in that corner there. Unbelievers. Two, top, down, bunk. The other two bunks, up and down. They don't go to church at all. They paid for this room. They paid the same amount you paid. You have no right. I don't even hide mouth. Why do you disturb people like that? Stop it. You have no right. You know if the girl finished runs by 3? Because she's a sinner, she will not sleep. Okay. Whether she's a sinner or not, she can be born again. You wake up by 4, the other person wakes up by 5. So what I did in my own life, I would leave. You go out. My final year, towards the end, I was this way again. After being W6 was M1. I was in M3. I'll go out year 1, I was there, but I didn't know. My life wasn't set by year 4 or 5. I was back here. I'll go out to the faculty of law, go down the corridor, dark, and walk up and down praying. Walk up and down praying. That way I won't be sleepy or anything. Then by 6 o'clock, that's 5 to 6, then 6 o'clock, I'll sit down, read my Bible till 7 o'clock. By then, they've come to sweep. Stand up, go to the hostel, have a bath, and start my day. Disturb nobody. When I was the other way, I've walked behind Roman Catholic St. Peter's Parish by 5 a.m. in the middle of the night. I'm glad snakes did not bite me, because the things I used to do, looking just for where to be quiet. I was still learning, okay? Remember I told you I didn't have someone discipling me directly. No, but I would look for where to pray. And if I can't, I'll have to be silent. You stand. I've told you, you can stand, hold something, be punching the wall. Something. There's a way. If you're here, ask your disciple. There's many ways you can pray. That go outside. There are people in the hostels for years. They go out into the field. Go out into the field in the center, in the hostels, in the annex. Or come out. Be outside. Go out. There's space. Go out. Except you're staying alone. But you do not raise a loud. I've told you how to plug something into your ear and pray. You will hear your voice inside your head. So you don't need to shout. Do you understand this? Put your hands in your ear. You hear your voice loud, even though it's low. You're hearing yourself. Why are you raising your voice? You're trying to stay away. Put your hands in your ear. Get ear plugs. Plug something into your ear and you hear yourself. But don't offend people in the name of I'm seeking God. You're selfish. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus would go to the wilderness to pray. What's comfortable about a wilderness? Why do you think he did it? Apart from that, I wonder how people are able to say everything they have to say to God for everyone to hear. Shame that they catch you now. I don't always understand people. So how do you tell God? God, yesterday, that time I almost lost it after that sister. That's why I don't trust a lot of people's prayer. Do you talk to God? Who they pray? Okay, four people. Okay. Do you talk to God? What do you tell him? Pre-formatted prayer, Psalm 91. That's what you call prayer. I think that's what many of you do. That's why you're able to, oh Lord God, I commit. So it's declarations. I command the sun. I command the stars. I move the Milky Way galaxy. I come to all that. That one, anybody can hear it. Because that's how you've been unfortunately mistrained. Are you talking to God? Why do you think he goes to the wilderness? What do you think he's talking about? Something that everybody will be hearing. Have I not shown you in the Bible? His disciples had to go to him and say, Master, please teach us how to pray. Like John taught his disciples. Did you ever hear, Master, teach us your word? Never. Because he did that all the time. They had to beg him to teach them. They didn't know how to pray because they never heard him pray. If that doesn't tell you something, I don't know what I'll convince you with. Is imitation not the best form of flattery, or at least what a disciple does? That's Luke 11 verse 1. Teach us how to pray. One day in a place where Jesus had just finished praying, one of his disciples requested, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught. They didn't know how to pray because Jesus always prayed in private. Now, if you are not still sure, because you have issues. Matthew 6, didn't he say, when you want to pray, go into your closet and pray. Where only your Father in heaven will hear. You don't know it's in the Bible, right? It's in Matthew 6. Go and read it. Why did he say so? Because prayer is a private thing. Except, I repeat, all your prayers are by rote. 6:6, when you pray, go into your inner room, shut your door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So prayer is done in secret. Oh Lord God, today, I repeat, you can only say general things. And I don't trust prayers that only say general things. I don't trust it at all. If it's corporate prayer, everyone lift your voice. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for brother this. Let's pray. There's nothing to hide. Yes? But you're talking to God about the problem. The problems you cause. You're able to pray loudly. All the wahala you cause in this world, you. You don't tell everybody. You get mine. You don't have mine except you're not praying. Your fears. You talk to God about everybody. Maybe you do it, but I don't know. Or maybe it's all this prayer. Oh Lord, I am like the sea which does not lack sediment. General prayer. Everybody goes on their bed. It's true. No, that's not prayer. Let's address the sediment individually. Lord God, you see my character. Everybody has complained. Everybody has complained. In this new place I've gone to stay now, they are complaining about the same thing. God, I begged you, won't you change my character? Who prays this kind of prayer aloud? Who? And I repeat my allegation. Most people don't pray. You do mantra. If you talk to God about the issues that are real, about your brother, about your sister, even when you're praying for them, Father, I commit this brother into your hand now. As that you show him mercy, you call his name aloud. Then the Holy Spirit is whispering like that thing I said earlier on. But what about this and that? And then you're answering, Lord, please, even though, okay, can you do this? You now say that for everyone to hear. Are you sure? You don't have the mind. So real prayer, which is real communication, like talking to someone. You put your microphone, everyone is hearing what you're saying. You don't. And that's why the Lord said, when you want to pray, come aside. Come aside. Learn. Pay the price. The earlier day to know how to come aside. Check. Locate a place you stand. Stand on the corridor. On the corridor of your room. Or stand in your corner. Put your hand. It's too hard. Pour gravels on the ground. Have a box, a small carton. Half cut like this with gravels inside. I don't want to sleep. Stand on it. Up and down. You not sleep. Don't worry. I know some of you sleep on top of that. You're just keeping quiet like, eh? Me, you never teach them to sleep. I can sleep on a mountaintop. Pay the price. Are you hearing me? I grew up in a home. My mother has to hear you praying aloud. She wants you to shout so you can ginger her also. When she doesn't hear her, you have killed her spirit. Wow. Most of the time, I don't have anything to say again, as the session is usually long. At this point, I don't know what to do again. I don't usually like long and lousy prayers, but she believes you have to be loud. Hey, sorry, I pray for comfort for you. You have suffered. Mothers have done this to generations of children. God help you. But you have escaped now. You have grown up now. Next time you go home, tell mommy, please. Mommy, every salvation is best now, mommy. Don't tell her. Tell mommy, please. Mommy, please. I don't have anything. Get to, when you finish the point you're praying, end and say, I'm done. The rest is private. Rest is private. When you do that, your mama will give up on you. Thank God you're no more a baby. Your mother will give up on you and leave you alone. Let her say, you have killed my spirit. Say, me. Mommy, it seems your spirit is dead by itself. You want me to resurrect it? I've tried. He doesn't want to wake up. What should I do? Read your Bible more with your mommy, and she will do better on her own. Teach her the things you have learned. You've been taught here, and she will do better. How can you be saying everything? I repeat, you people, do you pray? If you pray, really, you have mind. Can you say out? Father God, I commit brother this into your hand, and or sister this. Lord, concerning that thing she did yesterday, I didn't like it. Lord, I didn't like. Who prays like this quietly to the Lord? You've expressed your grievance to the Lord. Can you pray it out loud? So what are you people talking about? Who has complained to God about their parents before? You and mommy, did you pray it out loud? Lord God, forgive my mother for what she did yesterday. Killing spirit. That's the first time her spirit will die. Adiaga, stop, stop, stop. What are you saying? Who believes their prayer life is about to be transformed? Come on, God is helping you. Be real, be authentic. Don't stop all this. I'm talking to a graven image. No, God is real. Act, be real, and he'll be real to you. Do kwe kwe kwe. You'll be wondering why your prayers are not answered. Because you don't pray. You act. You show up. It's time to act. 5 o'clock. Acting time. 4 o'clock. When we act. Be real. Father, I'm here. I don't know what to say. Oh. You know how lazy I am. Be authentic. God gives grace to the humble. We are too proud. He resists the proud. I beg sheep. This one, every morning we keep making noise. I don't know what he says. God will help you, man. Quickly.
Okay, so I wanted to add, my mom uses this scripture. She'll say that Paul and Silas prayed in the prison and the prisoners heard them. So, like, she's always very annoyed when we don't pray out loud.
How did she get into prison? Mother is not in prison. Leave it. Not in prison. Does not apply at all. At all. When you're in prison and everybody is sad and you are bound in chains while in prison, see, that's double level, double wahala, you know, and all that. And you raise your voice in there. Let's hope Paul could sing tenor, you know, and in the midst of that, Paul and Silas go, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You want to whisper? Why are you whispering in a prison already? There's no music here. So they are being a blessing to the whole prison. Apart from that, when the Spirit of God comes on you, it doesn't mean you're quiet. I'm not saying all prayer is quiet. I didn't say so. I'm talking about private prayer is different from general prayer. You can pray and the place shakes. We pray, we sing loudly. Don't you hear us? Distinguish. Personal prayer is what I was responding to. Okay? Tell your mother to go and pray. I don't pray. Leave me alone. You know. I've given you scriptures. Do what you like with it. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, prayers, supplications, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. My question is what? What exactly is prayer? I've answered it. I thought supplications, intercessions, and the rest were all prayers too. There are different kinds. Go and listen to the messages on what? Incense. So I have some messages on incense. Check on our website, you see, where I address the four kinds of condiments listed there that are prayer. Four condiments that were used to compose the incense. All right? Listen to the message. Ask for it. When we listen while praying, what if God does not want to talk? Does it mean you can't pray again? If you like. I would suggest you talk and go your way. God has every right to answer you later. God has the right to not say anything and just do what you ask for. It's not every answer that is something you pick now. Some answers are the thing. Eh? Lord, as I'm going out to sell my goods today, I pray for favor. Amen. You want to hear him say, okay or no? Face your side. I'd like you to explain the concept of using in Jesus' name before adding amen while praying, because Jesus commanded us to pray in Jesus' name. Where? He commanded you to pray. He said, whatever you ask in my name. But it looks like people's prayers get answered without adding in Jesus' name, even without amen or but. Who is this person? I've answered this thing. Get the message. Ask for it. In Jesus' name means to do it on Jesus' behalf. I've told you, I don't have to say in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer. I say it once in a while so people won't be too offended. Long ago, many years ago, I prayed once and someone said, why don't you say in Jesus' name? An older man. So everyone said, I try to add in Jesus' name. I say in Jesus' name a lot. If I had my way, based on what I know, I wouldn't say it at all. Why? Because to do something, so when you go in Buhari's name or Governor Odum's name, you don't go and say, in Buhari's name. No, I say I'm from the presidency. Maybe they blithely called and say I'm sending someone. Oh, are you the one from Aso Rock? Oh, yes. In Buhari's name, open this gate. Bang, bang, bang. In Buhari's name, open this door. In Buhari's name, I want to see your boss. In Buhari's name, boss. He said, no. Have you heard me? No. But that's how you people interpret. That's how Christians interpret. In Jesus' name. I've shown you in the Bible. First time, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter and John. Second time, Annas, Jesus heals you. Crippled man stands. Third time, a dead woman. Tabitha, rise. Full stop. A dead woman rises. They didn't say in Jesus' name. They didn't say nothing. So it's, again, all this childish understanding we have. Please be saying in Jesus' name or they'll say you're in a cult. Christians have issues. They have chosen to stay where they are. No wahala. But if I pray or you pray, it's like the person is saying, I've seen prayers answered without saying in Jesus' name or amen. Yes, because what do you mean? If you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And you are the one that presumes you must say in Jesus' name. Now we say it so the people can agree. But I could just get to the end of saying, Father, I request that there be a release of needs in this house. Amen. And you agree. Amen. May it be so. Amen means I agree. But in Jesus' name, it's not wrong. You say, I ask it in Jesus' name. Okay, but it was the only way I could even ask in the first place when I said, Father. Or you came in your own power. Are you that powerful? I hope you understand me.
Yes, sir.
Know it, but don't look for trouble. You understand? Jesus said, don't go somewhere public stand. You just be there. They'll be wondering. Nobody has said amen. And you want them to say amen. So just say in Jesus' name. Okay, I'll be here. But to do something in someone's name is to come on their behalf. They sent you. You came with permission of that person. And I only come to the Father under Jesus' name. There's no other heading I show up under. Is this clear? To do something in someone's name does not mean to call the person's name. It just means to act with boldness that comes from knowing that they support what you're doing. Is it okay to pause and respond to someone who interrupts your prayer? Maybe if you're praying, your roommate walks in, greets you. Are you serious? I don't understand your roommate greeting you. How were you praying, sir? Please look spiritual. We need to get a cloth and cover your head. Do it. Do something. Your roommate should greet. Don't answer them. Normally what you do, you ignore them. They'll stop greeting you. Ignore them completely like they don't exist. Don't encourage people to talk to you. Or they'll even bring gist. Who has seen it? You bring this. Don't. You're kneeling down. You're kneeling down like that. Don't respond to them. I normally face this mind battle whenever I want to pray for someone or something. Merely I remember I had not studied my Bible or prayed earlier that morning. I feel sometimes I may hear a voice say, "God will not hear me." How do I overcome this battle? By obeying what I've taught you this night. I know God hears me, but how do I stop feeling guilty? How? Just do what you want to do. How do you stop feeling guilty? Feel what you like and do what is right. Have you heard me? I said, feel what you like and do what is right. Feel what you like, but do what is right. I know God hears me. How do I stop feeling guilty? Even when I do not study my Bible or pray earlier. And try and study your Bible and pray earlier. So you stop feeling guilty. Till you come to the place where you don't feel guilty. Okay? Is there a problem if each time you want to pray, you do so with the same exact words every time? I've answered this. When praying for forgiveness, you go, Father, forgive me for all my sins and iniquities and let me be whiter than snow. If it is a problem, how can it be stopped? I've answered it, Abby. I've answered it now. I said, talk to God like you're talking to an intelligent being. Don't be robotic. It's not a sign of a healthy person. Even little children, if you want to ask for biscuit, you don't ask the same way. There's the one way you just say, Daddy, where's the biscuit? There's the one way you come from the side, Daddy. Daddy, you, what kind of biscuit do you like? Yes or no?
Yes.
What I just described, is that someone or not? How can little children have more sense than you? Even children know that there are different methods, different approaches. You can't be so bland, keep saying the same sentence, same way. No, let there be variety, spice in your communication style. Huh? And stop all this, forgive all my iniquities. Don't pray like that at all. Be calling what you did by name. Stop doing general prayer. That's how unbelievers pray. You're a child of God now. When you're repenting, confess exactly what you are guilty of. If there's nothing, confess nothing. Oh, deliverance. You better go through the series on School of Prayer, the audios. You see, there's so much for you to learn. The faster you learn, the better your life will be. Stop saying, Father, forgive all my iniquities and sins. Don't ever ask for forgiveness like that. Stop. That was before. Stop now. That's why you keep goofing. Father, forgive me for being so rude, for speaking rudely to my father. Forgive me. Your word says to honor them. Forgive me for being rude. Amen. That's how you pray. What did you do? Confess what you did. And say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Now, we know, everybody knows. Don't pray like that. Are we clear? What if you can't hear God when you want to pray? I've answered this. You go about it. God is always speaking. God has already spoken a lot. 1 Corinthians 5:5. 1 Timothy 1:20. Paul said, delivering some church members who went rogue unto Satan. What's your opinion? I answered this on what? Sunday? Huh. Listen to the message on Sunday. All right. I know that to be sincere, I don't really fancy long prayer. But twice in my life, I had prayed for quiet a long time for hours, and I blamed it on highness. You are high? Is auto repeat necessary? Because I think that's what I did. Please, there's nothing wrong with praying long. You should pray long. All of you should be praying long, bro. I'm saying don't pray long under pressure of thinking that God wants you to pray long. Are you understanding? All of you, all God's house people, I know most are not here because they are not to be here for this particular meeting. All of you need to pray way more. That's a major thing I've told you in recent years. You don't pray enough. I've said it. You don't pray near enough because we are used to getting answers. There are prayers that last long, and many of you are not praying it enough. If you prayed it enough, you pray much more often. Okay? There's nothing wrong with praying long. I didn't say it's wrong to pray long. I said, make sure you're not praying unnecessarily. And I'm saying a lot of that time you claim you're praying, you should be listening to God. Is that clear? How do I help someone whose mindset about that is listening to God by reading the Bible? That's what I said. Not talking. I've said, if you have 3 hours to pray, read your Bible maybe for 2.5 hours. You talk less, especially at the beginning. But if a spirit of prayer comes on you, then talk to God more. It's not fixed. Is this clear? How do I help someone whose mindset about speaking in tongues is that it comes out of her mouth in a supernatural way, not her doing the talking based on what she senses? Well, I don't know. Let her know that there are times she can just go on and pray in the spirit. It's not till she feels the spirit come on her. But if she disagrees, what are you going to do? Beat her? Please, you said we can ask anything. Okay. I do hear you say, bless their food and water. But I thought you said we do not bless the food. But rather, we bless God for the food. Yes? So why do you say bless their food and water? I want your food to do you good. That it should be happy food. Blessed food. That the things you ingest will do you good. You want me to say, Lord, I bless you for their food and water. I'm asking you that you should have. If I am holding food, I don't say, God, bless this food. I say, God, I bless you for this food. But when you go to bless someone, to bless the work of your hands, to bless you, I can bless you. It's by extension, I'm blessing you because the priests have authority to bless. So I'm blessing, I can bless anything that you have, can extend a blessing upon anything or everything that you have. It makes your life blessed. It's not only God that is blessed. You bless the Lord for what he has given you. That's the thanksgiving. I don't bless my food. I bless God for my food. But I can bless your things. I can bless you. Huh. I don't know how to say more than that. Maybe some other day I will say it more. Eh? I'm running with the clock. As a lawyer, if you say you're not going to do the case of a church, is that not giving... going against the cab rank rule. I hear. Okay, see your long truth. I hear. That you have to do any matter that is brought to you. Go and read it well. It's a lie. Ridiculous. Your conscience. You have freedom of association. Your fundamental human right to override all rules in this life. Do you know that? That's what greedy lawyers teach upcoming lawyers. That you can't refuse a case. God is watching you. On judgment day, you know how far. You know whether you should have refused case. arm robber will come to you. A crook will come to you. You know he's a crook, but he'll pay you 10 million to defend his crookery. And you say, I can't refuse to. And you defend him thoroughly. And you help the wicked to escape. You think God will not punish you when the time comes? Wait and see now. Sorry, for those who don't know what we are talking about, it doesn't concern you because the lawyers, they have something they call the cab rank rule. And not supposed to refuse the case. Have you read it well? Go and read it well. It's wuru wuru. You know how when people want to defend something, like a doctor saying, no, according to Adi, you must do what? You see, you know God sees your heart. You know very well. What about all the situations where you refuse a case because the person was poor? That one does not apply, Abi. Don't let me look at you personally. Why did you refuse to give money? Oh, they didn't come after you. Cab rank rule didn't come. It's only when there's money, then rules apply. God, if me, human being, you cannot deceive. God will deceive. Pastor talked about learning God's ways and how God defines terms. What then is effectual fervent prayer? I've answered it. Effectual fervent prayer. When was it? We talked about Elijah. Sunday? Was it Sunday? Listen to Friday or Sunday? Maybe Friday or Sunday. Listen to those two messages. Concerning what you said about it being okay to spend a week studying a particular theme or topic before praying about it. Is it okay to listen or read many different points of views? Many preachers with varying views on the theme, if you like, alongside studying the Bible so as to truly be convinced of the truth or come to a personal conclusion, if you like. If you have time, no wahala. But I'll suggest you do Bible more. And ask questions. I don't know how many people you can listen to, but it depends on the time you have. It's fine and good. Try and come to a conclusion, especially if the prayer matter is, you don't have forever to pray about it. Abi? You said we shouldn't say, I'm going to church. Rather, I'm going for a church meeting. When a church is incorporated, has a separate legal identity from its members according to the law, has a name. Isn't it right to say, I'm going to church? It's your problem. After what I've explained, that's fully your problem. Meet anyone that was in this meeting for them to explain more to you. 1 Timothy 1:9. The law is made not for the righteous but for the lawless and disobedient. Yes. Are there specific situations where it is all right to take a brother or sister to court? Ask God. You better ask God if it's okay and when it's okay to take a brother or sister to court. Ask God. Ask their father. Maybe you're working for a company and the person represent the other company is a brother or sister. It's not you going to go, it's your company. But if it's for personal, I don't know, there might be some situation where you're trying to get maybe a so-called brother. It's not really a brother or sister. It's an evil person trying to harm you or your family or something. You can go to court for that. So it depends on a situation. And don't you think you're mixing up things? By this law, are you referring to the law of God or the law of man? We were praying in tongues once in the church during the meeting when the Holy Spirit came heavily on us. Our pastor came in and obstructed the whole thing, saying we should pray what he can hear. It's not me. So it ended with, please, is this right? Answer yourself. What the church group you hang out with? I've heard that kind of story at different times. They come in. Amen. Amen. Come here. We won't do it to you. What do you think about? What do you think about farting when praying? Do you start over like the Muslims? All of you called to be pastors. So the question is that Muslims restart. So you're a Muslim now. Because I don't know what you're asking. Huh? We are not Muslims here, are we? Yes? We are not Muslims now. So I think you should, I've told you when you, Yes, go ahead.
What if you committed a sin during the day?
Didn't allow me finish answering the question, but
no, sir. I did not understand when you talked
about.
Let
me finish this question now.
Okay, sir.
I thought you even wanted to ask that. Now you ask him. I don't think Fatty has anything to do with prayer. I think she'll go on talking to God. God is a spirit. You people are laughing. These things are these are serious issues for people, and you people are laughing. You don't know how many times this person has repeated prayer. It's like they drank milk the night before. Yes, go ahead. What do you mean? Let her finish. What on earth?
What if you
come and carry the other mic?
What if you committed a sin during the day and you've forgotten what you did? So when you're about praying to God for forgiveness,
confess it when you remember.
Okay, sir.
You forgot what you did. You sinned and forgot. So you walk around with the mindset that I sinned, but now I've forgotten how I sinned. Can I suggest? Now go and listen to old messages. Please, don't be keeping sin till night. Why do you keep the sin till night now? Confess sin when it's fresh now. What's wrong with repenting at once? Huh? For many years, a time came many years ago, and I didn't used to have what to confess. Because you deal with wahala as it happens. Why do you keep it? It's because of all these bad habits, carrying things in your heart, disobeying God. I know many Christians, you are like that. You can disobey God for days, weeks, months. You know very well you have erred and you keep it. That's your problem. You shouldn't live like that. You have problems. Why don't you deal with it at once? You sinned against her. Who says night has to come, then you repent, then you go in the morning and tell her sorry? What's wrong with you going back, sending a message to her, I'm sorry for what I just said to you. I apologize, I shouldn't have said it. Why don't you deal with it at once? And do you know if you repent to people sometimes like that, you don't even need to tell God some of these things. Yes, the Bible says if you come to God to offer a gift, maybe praise, worship, whatever, and you remember you offended your brother, he didn't say, ask God to forgive. He said, drop that your thing and go to God, to your brother or sister, and make peace, and then go and offer it. That's what your Bible says. It's you that came up with your, again, all this crazy stuff we do, and came up with, I need to talk to God about it. Who told, most of the things we repent about, you don't need to talk to God. I've seen and heard many Christians have their life, their spiritual life, stultified, stopped, hindered, difficult, difficult. But, and sometimes I look at them and I wonder, look at this sinner. The sins you've committed against different people, you haven't apologized, but you want your relationship with God to be fine. Why do you think he keeps chasing you away from his altar when you show up? Why don't you do things the right way? Why do you want to do your way? You come up with your way. So you want to talk to God and feel happy. And some of you, you harden your heart and go on and talk to God. Because maybe you see visions and all that. You're talking to God. Why? Did you forget his standing instructions that if your brother or sister has an issue, you should go and settle it? You don't go and settle it. Then you're trying to fan the flames of the altar. You're a disobedient soul, and you only go so far. Yes.
Okay, sir. I was not the one that asked that question about fasting, but I just want to, maybe this is what the person means, because such thoughts have come to my mind before.
What special thing are you going to say that I haven't answered already? Wait, what I say, if you miss it.
Okay, I think in the book of Exodus or something, one of the passages that was given in the marriage guide, he spoke about when you defile something around.
He talks about defecating, that you should cover it and you should be outside the camp. Or defilement, yes, in your personal space. So, he said you should wash your clothes.
Farting and defecating, I don't know. But the second reason I used to wonder is, they say that if you're talking to a big person, you are all that
courteous. Okay, you can restart the prayer, no problem. You can restart the prayer. Did I say another hand? You can restart the prayer as many times as you like. No problem. Just hold yourself. I'll be going to the toilet before I start praying. So you won't.
So there's a group that believe that if they commit a sin during the day when they want to pray, they just bath and then go and pray that God hears them.
It's not this group. Anything else? I'm finishing. We are praying. It's not this group. Leave people to do what they like. As well. You sin against me, then you go and bat. All right. Have we learned? And this sister is raising her hand. Were you stretching or raising your hand? You're stretching. Okay, she said she was stretching. I thought she was raising her hand. There's one more question, and the person is like, raise your hand and ask it. Just ask. Don't worry. Don't. If you overcome fear, you enter into liberty, the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Don't worry about us. But we need to go. Ask it though. If you send it personally, I'll not answer. But is raise it in their heart.
So I want to ask one question, and it don't bother me very since, and because of waiting, I don't hear, and I want
go ahead
find out something. You get person where I offend, and deep down they tell me say make I just go meet the person directly, apologize to the person. But upon seeing me, I know say I don't ask for forgiveness from God. I still want to know if it's still very necessary for me to approach the person, tell her and say, make him no para.
Yes. I just finished saying that now. I just finished saying that. Someone, you offended someone, you gotta be telling God. You offend someone, you gotta be telling God. Is it God you offended? Is it human being? You apologize to the human being. Huh? Pride will bring you low. A man's pride brings him low. Many of you, your life should be happier in so many ways if you would apologize habitually. So many ways. You just be, even your health. Why? Because you've humbled yourself. Therefore, grace will come on you. Favor. Some of you will be richer. You have more money. Literally. More cash. Real cash. I don't mean spiritual cash. If you are more, but you are. So you will be. God's gift of interpretation. You are. So you will be. I'm not joking. Some of you are physically poor. Pride. Keep a man's pride will bring him low. In what way? Multiple ways. Grace is given to the humble. Has God been good to us?
Yes,
let's say a word of prayer too. If this is your first time, I haven't prayed for you before, you're going to come, I'll say a quick prayer to you. Quickly, stand to your feet, everyone. Remember, we are here on Friday by 5 p.m., okay? Father, we are thankful. Lift your hands. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to learn at your feet. Fathers, we thank you for the spirit of truth that helps us to understand. As we go forth, help us put into practice what we have learned.
Amen.
Help us put into practice what we've learned.
Amen.
Thank you for the freedom, the grace that has been released in the place of prayer for every one of us.
Amen.
Father, I'm asking that you will give us grace to walk in this grace now.
Amen.
May we not waste the opportunity. May we maximize it.
Amen.
Thank you. A spirit of distraction in prayer time, sleep, all that stuff. This I declare liberty over God's people.
Amen.
Spirit of distraction in place of prayer. I rebuke you. Take your hands off.
Amen.
You spirit of blindness that doesn't want God's people to see the way. I rebuke you. Take your hands off.
Amen.
Speak freedom to you. As you go tonight, tomorrow, as you wake up, you're going to feel grace all over you.
Amen.
Coming weeks, grace will be all over you.
Amen.
Like you've never known before.
Amen.
I deliver you from dead tradition.
Amen.
I speak life in your conversations with God.
Amen.
Declare a new day over you.
Amen.
You will know the Father and the Father will know you.
Amen.
And you will rejoice in the place of prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, good Father.
Thank you.
Just tell him thank you. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Amen. Father, ask any offerings that will be given this night or that have been given already. I ask that you receive it, cause it to be used for your glory and praise.
Amen.
I also ask for your people as they go, may favor go with them.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at God's-Lighthouse.org.